What's happening?
Yo, Mark.
Yo. Yo, what's up, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
Whoa, you got a whole pack of bros on here. What's happening, fellas?
None of us are wool guys, though.
No. Oh, geez. All right, I'm out. Screw this.
Mark, I got a pussy here, though.
What's that?
I got a pussy here. We're good.
Oh, well, well then. Now it's a party.
I leave it there. That's fine.
am I coming in correctly here, or am I sideways?
I don't even. I actually don't see your picture at all.
Oh Jesus! Hold on a minute. It's been a minute since one of these Zoom calls.
Sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Yo.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. Drink, you are sideways. In.
Yeah, I'm drinking right now, so I don't know if I've had a little bit too much.
There you go.
Let's see if that does that do it. Am I
that does it?
Your yeah. money.
What the hell do I have going on in the background? Any of you guys Catholic school guys?
George.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about putting a life size
Mary
Blessed Mother, yeah, right there. At least that's what I told my mom. Anyway.
That would go perfectly.
My wife's office. Yeah, I know, right? Amen.
What do you live in? You live in an old church?
Yeah, I got to serve mass downstairs at the funeral, so I'm getting paid. I'm really excited. I'm going to make that $5.
Nice.
I made $10.
Did right, you? Jesus.
All right, we'll start this off.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, welcome to another episode of Ring That Bell Podcast. We're here with the co-host again, Goody. What's up, dude?
Yeah, bro, I just got to make an announcement. Chick-fil-A sauce, overrated. I said what I said. Next question.
Potok, what's up, dude?
What's up? I'm a few beers deep. I got my smelling salts. I'm feeling good.
Hey, Alex, what's been going on? How's Temple going?
It's been good. I actually started a new class today from 6 to 7:30, so the workload just got a little bigger, but I'm handling it.
And we're welcomed by a very special guest tonight, 97.5 morning show host Mark Farsetta. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be a good time. Appreciate it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, Goody, I think you had a very special question for Mark.
Mark, I got a two-part question for you, brother.
All right.
One, what's it like, being the host of the morning show? Is it as good as it sounds to just wake up and talk sports every day? Two, how the hell do you have so much energy when you wake up in the morning? I get up at like 6:30 for work, and you're already screaming about me about the Eagles. I don't know how you do it.
Part of it is, excuse me. Part of it is coming from a huge family where if you're not yelling, you're not being heard. But the other part is espresso, two double espressos. So I guess that's four espressos that I make every morning. And I put in my little travel espresso cup, not the one that looks like a urine sample. It's actually a nice sized cup. And I go to work and I drink that quadruple espresso. And that's how I started off. Other than that, I really do love what I do. And as far as, is it as good as it seems to just get up and talk sports? Yes, but, and it's funny because we just talked about this on the radio the other day. When I go around, pre-COVID, when I would go to like schools and stuff and get invited to talk to grade school kids or high school kids, they would always ask, you got to find that job that makes you jump out of bed in the morning and you just want to attack the day. I live my dream. Okay. I have my dream job. So I can officially tell you, I can confirm reports that job doesn't freaking exist. Like that does not happen. I do not jump out of bed. I always talk to myself. I could sleep 10 more minutes and then I end up sleeping more like an hour. And then I get up and I make my espressos and I go to work. And then once I actually get to the studio, that's where the fun starts. The show itself is the reward for all the prep you do going into actually go on the radio. But yeah, I love it. It's my dream job. I wanted to do it since I was about 11 years old, which is also the time I realized I wasn't going to play center field for the Phillies. So it worked out rather well.
I don't think I've came to that realization yet. I'm still trying in my mind.
Still trying to be the first baseman for the Phillies.
Good for you, man. That's great. And I didn't realize this was a hot take show with the sauce from Chick-fil-A. Jeez, man. Coming in with a piping hot take.
This is a bullshit take. All takes on this show. So, I do have just a Sixers question to ask right off the top. If you could choose one player in the NBA to join forces with Joel and Ben with no cap hit or losses of assets, who would it be and why?
Wow. One play. That's a great question. I almost want to side on the side of shooting. And right now, just watching the NBA finals, a guy like Tyler Hero jumps to mind, but I mean, you want to go Giannis thinking about an MVP. I think if I had to say one guy, it would probably be Steph Curry. I mean, he's still got plenty left in the tank. I don't think he's going to come back worse than he was prior to the injury by any means. And I mean, you talk about one of the greatest shooters, if not the greatest shooter I've ever seen play. And I know he's got to be ball dominant, but I think he can get open and get space for himself enough where Ben would have no problem dishing and kicking out to him. And who better to dish out to than a guy like Steph Curry? Man, you're telling me no consequences whatsoever?
No consequences.
I mean, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons will play defense in their sleep. So, yeah, I mean, I'm throwing Steph Curry into this mix. Maybe even Kevin Durant, based on, I don't know how he'll come back from his injury, but the first guy that really pops to mind, the perfect match would be Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you guys as well. So, Goody, what's your answer?
Well, I can't. He stole mine. So let's go. let's go. Kawhi. I think the fit would be there. They make it work. Kawhi.
If we're going straight fit, since he said Steph, I'll go with Devin Booker. I think Devin Booker would work well with Ben Simmons as well.
Okay, Alex.
I like Klay Thompson.
That's Klay my Thompson's, guy.
Yeah,
my guy.
Better defender, and he's just as good, if not a better shooter than Steph. Having Ben handling the ball and then passing it off to Klay, I think that would be insane.
He's a very underrated slasher too. He can get to the hole if he really wants to, but I mean, he's definitely way more comfortable
shooting. He plays defense as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge.
Big time.
And then
we're going to go on into another Sixers question. Who is your least favorite Sixer of all time?
Wow. Least favorite Sixer of all time. That's another great one. Jeez. I grew up pre-Iverson. I mean, Iverson was my high school years. So there was a lot of really bad Sixers. I think Michael Cage came down from the Celtics when I was in like eighth grade. And I remember watching him play thinking, I didn't know that an 80-year-old man could play in the NBA. So for that, he's an inspiration. But I was so annoyed by his game. And plus, I think my brother really liked him, which made me hate him even more. I remember playing in eighth grade on the then First Union Center floor. And after we left as an eighth grade team for Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Michael Cage took the floor. And I thought our center on our eighth grade basketball team was better than Michael Cage. I'm trying to think of somebody more recent. I hated Matt Harpering. I hated Matt Harpering's game.
Oh, yeah.
He was garbage. If you remember him. I would hate on Tyrone Hill, but he actually made, an NBA finals with the Sixers. So. Mm-hmm. And then even Geiger from like that squad in that era, he kept Iverson in Philadelphia. So it's difficult. I mean, you go through the process years and I even think to myself, man, those guys were just trying to live their dream and playing in the NBA. I didn't hate them as much as I just hated losing. That was pretty much it. Right. But yeah, I go in the Wayback Machine. I think Michael Cage was here for maybe a year. And I just remember looking at him being like, no, man, this ain't it.
I wanted to beat Spencer Halls with a bat when I used to watch him play.
He's one of those guys that I thought was soft. He was one of the first centers the Sixers had that would spot up and shoot a three.
Yeah.
I remember and I remember thinking that seems so weird. And then now we have Joel Embiid, obviously, who's
right.
a billion light years ahead of Spencer Halls, obviously. But it's like, oh yeah, that's what centers do now. If you're not shooting threes in the league, forget about it. You're not even in the league anymore.
Right.
AJ, you remember the game we went to? Spencer Halls went off. He had like three or four threes, and they were doing MVP chants for the guy.
Yeah, he ended up having like 22 points or something like that. He was just
– it was an anomaly. Everywhere. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's it's really hard to think about someone who I like truly despise as a Sixer. Like,
Andrew Bynum?
Me, like, I would honestly say Jahlil Okafor. That's the guy who I just cannot stand. One, because he's a Dukie, and I hate Duke players.
Uh-huh. And yeah, he was annoying because I remember that fight in Boston that he got in, and he went right to, we got money, we got money. And I'm like, well, that's stupid. Like, a guy from Duke can't come up with a better comeback than that. First off, I'd rather you just physically fight someone than come up with a terrible comeback like that.
Yeah.
Did he sock a Celtics fan that made me like him more?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely did sock a Celtics fan. That was awesome. But himself, I didn't like it. I don't know what his issue was with the organization or whatnot, but just the way he held himself, I just didn't like it. I just didn't like anything about him.
Mm. I'll go Fultz.
Fultz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
He just didn't want to be here.
the thing that I'll always remember about the Markelle Fultz Sixer era, if you will, was when Elton Brand was being interviewed about Markelle Fultz not playing anymore. And he said that his agent called him, Raymond Brothers, if I'm not mistaken, and said, Markelle's no longer available. We're getting a shoulder looked at and all that. And I remember I've never seen a general manager or any front office executive or even a former player laugh about another player's alleged injury. He was like, whatever you're going with, bro, you just let me know if he's ever available again. And
let me know if you're fit, whatever.
Yeah. 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 You let me know when he's available and we'll probably trade him anyway. So take your time.
that's awesome.
Bynum has to be the worst Sixer for me.
The most hated. Yeah.
Yeah. My most hated. Yeah. But exactly.
The amount they traded for those.
Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah. Let's jump into present day. Mark, what do you think about Doc?
This is the only move as far as I was concerned. This was, I thought Tyron Hill Tyronn Lue was a joke, absolute joke. I was intrigued by Billy Donovan because he had handled a lot of stars and he was just coming off a great coaching performance with OKC. And he had, if anyone was going to figure out a way for Al Horford to work in that almost impossible to move contract, I think it would be Billy Donovan. But as we talked about on our show, if the conversation with Billy Donovan was something along the lines of, hey, what do you think of Al Horford? And he goes, oh, he's a starter, no doubt. Then, okay, thanks, but no thanks. Exactly. See you in Chicago. But I don't think it necessarily went like that, if it even went at all. But I was intrigued by Billy Donovan. Tyronn Lue, I was completely out on, wanted nothing to do with it. Mike D'Antoni, I thought, wow, the Sixers have a lot of offensive spacing problems, so maybe. And then when I heard Doc Rivers was available, I was like, game on, man. Let's party. This is the only guy that comes in here with the clout of a 20-year head coach, a 16-year NBA player. He's won a championship. He's been to another. He's coached stars. He actually, what really gets underrated, and people forget about this, when Landry Shamet was traded to the LA Clippers, people thought, oh, well, they're just packing it in and they're tanking. Doc Rivers took that team to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And people, we talked about it a lot, like, wow, Landry Shamet is already out there sinking threes for him. Well, you know, he had a pretty darn good coach in Doc Rivers. Now, on the court, it's obvious what Doc brings to the table in terms of respect around the league. And I think guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid will listen to his type of influence. But the even bigger thing is what this means for the Sixers as an organization and as a front office, because what it seems like now, instead of having analytics guys, and I'm not against analytics, I just think that they have their place. And if you have two solid basketball guys in Elton Brand and Doc Rivers running the show and then just picking and choosing what they want to take out of the analytics department, I think that's a great step forward for the Sixers organization to have knowledge like that in the front office instead of guys that say, hey, because this number and that number match up, you should play this type of style offense. I'd rather have the basketball people making the basketball decisions. And I think that's what you have right now in Elton Brand and Doc Rivers. So it's a great coach, I think, you're bringing in here, somebody who has won a championship and also somebody that has respect, not just from players, but also guys in the front office as well, where he can make calls with Elton Brand and trying to make trades and wheel and deal behind the scenes. So I think it checks every single box that they're looking for in Philadelphia.
So how different do you think this roster looks on opening day?
Phenomenal question.
Oof. I don't think it looks all that different from what we had at closing the season. Matisse Thybulle might work his way into the starting five. Doc Rivers, he was one of the first players that Doc Rivers talked about in terms of being an all-defensive candidate already. I don't even think he said candidate. I said all-defensive type player already. I wouldn't be surprised if Matisse Thybulle worked his way in. I definitely think they go out and get a shooter. I'm not 100%. I actually really like the Buddy Hield idea of trying to bring him here. I love the idea of how we do journalism now, to quote-unquote journalism. I like the idea how we – oh, he liked a tweet from the Sixers or he liked an Instagram post. Oh, that means he wants to come to Philly. Hey, if he wants to come to Philly, I wouldn't mind a guy like that shooting from the outside on this team, because the number one priority after a head coach and after maybe a little reorganization of the front office as to who's listening to who, the other thing you need is to figure out who's going to be shooting the basketball for this team, because I have zero expectations for Ben Simmons coming into the season with any semblance of a jump shot, which I people act like I'm hot taking him when I talk about Ben Simmons needing a jumper. Yes, he does everything else great. Now, how about that thing that every basketball player should do, which is shoot a 10 to 15 foot jumper. And I don't know, maybe make 75% of your free throws, especially a guy that goes to the rim as much as him. But yeah, I think you got to add shooters. I think Buddy Hield is a very real option for the Sixers if they don't continue to add through the draft with getting shooters.
So going off of what you just said with the journalism, that got me 1,400 likes. 1,400 nice. Views over here.
Very nice.
But so have you paid attention to the draft at all? Like
the NBA draft?
Yes.
Not recently. No. I mean, with everything that's been happening, I've been lucky to keep an eye on college football. Like, I just watched Temple lose to Navy. And I was bashing my head against the wall over that game. But
brutal.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
So in your career of broadcasting, who has been your favorite interview?
Wow. Honestly, Franco Harris was a great interview because I had never gone into an interview that was A, so serious, and B, I was on the complete opposite side of the subject. And Franco Harris at the time was petitioning for Joe Paterno to get his job back at Penn State in light of the Jerry Sandusky sexual abuse scandal. And I remember going through the whole free report and going through every ounce of that, all 297 pages, if I'm not mistaken. And I was prepared for it. And there was a couple of moments that we just, I hate this term, and I didn't say this on the air, but it was more or less a moment of agreeing to disagree. But that was one of my favorite because it was a little bit outside of what I normally do, which is more of the lighthearted stuff, but that was the subject matter at the time. And that's what needed to be addressed. In terms of just a fun interview to do, I always look forward to interviews with Adam Schefter. He's not afraid to play. Kevin Negandhi of ESPN, another Temple guy.
It's always great.
He's just fantastic. And that Philly, you know, you can take the kid out of Philly, you can't take the Philly out of the kid, or in this case, you can't take the Temple out of the kid. He is Temple through and through, and he's Philadelphia through and through. And I think he not only gets the emotion out, but he also communicates so well. Like, that's one of the most difficult things, is when your heart is in something, especially for me, I can get emotional. And it's even hard for me as a professional broadcaster, so to speak,
right,
to translate that without using every ounce of the emotion that I have. Mm-hmm. And I think Kevin is that's why he's on the stage that he's on. He does that so eloquently. He is one of my favorite interviews to talk to.
He's a good follow on Twitter too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We actually reached out to him to see if he'd get on the show.
Oh, really?
We're big fans of him. He's okay. Yeah, he's definitely a great listen. And
I interviewed Mark Schlereth one time, and he kept using the phrase turd burger. And I wasn't expecting Mark Schlereth to use the term turd burger. And I even forget who he was referencing. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay. All right, Mark Schlereth, whatever you say, buddy.
That's awesome. All right, so I have to ask this question. So, FanFest, what goes into it? Like, I know it's got to be months and months and months of preparation. I've been there, and it's immaculate. It's awesome. Me and Goody went the year that they won the Super Bowl. So,
Same.
They had the trophy there and everything. The trophy there and everything. So what goes into everything with FanFest?
So I'm lucky. I just kind of got to show up and hang out, and they let me drink, which is awesome. I don't have to do much other than give away tickets on the radio and promote it. That stuff. And I've been in this job before. I've been a promotions director before. And let me tell you something, that job sucks. Like, that's the worst job, like, in all of radio. Like, I'd rather be like street team handing out t-shirt type guy than the boss of the person that does that. You get paid nothing. Everybody else's BS is your BS. So that person that has that job, they have a lot of responsibility on FanFest. All the credit goes to those people that have organized that in the past. Our promotions department, since I came on, has changed over a couple of times, and part of that is thanks to COVID. But anyone in radio promotions, if you ever meet anyone in radio promotions at any level, just go up to them. You know, when COVID's over, give them a hug, tell them that you're thinking of them, you're praying for them, because their job sucks. But a lot of work goes behind the scenes from those people. Our assistant program director and operations manager, Eric Camille, we call him Coach. You might hear us reference him on the air. He does a lot of work behind the scenes to organize all that. Our sponsors come up huge. Our listeners, our fans come out huge for that, as well as you guys did. And we hope to get it back in the not too distant future.
Yeah, we're hoping it does come back soon, because I definitely
summer wasn't the same, man.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah, we felt it too. It's been like, after FanFest, like I had just had a kid, and I remember like everyone asking me about, you know, my daughter, who's my, you know, my firstborn, my wife and I are firstborn. And it was just like that sense of community that I love and appreciate so much, not just about talk radio, but Philadelphia sports talk radio, where it feels like we're all on the stoop together, or we're all on the step together, or we're all on the bar stool drinking 40s, just, you know, BSing about sports. And that's the type of show we try to run, and that's type of show I try to do, where you feel like you're just walking down the street and you walk by a conversation and you want to stop and listen for a minute and maybe join the conversation. And that's the kind of attitude that we try to keep on the morning show, and I feel like FanFest embodies that same type of attitude.
Yeah, right. I like that you can really get to know somebody, like you guys personally, having conversations here and there and all that. Like, I just love everything about it.
That's why the Fanatic's better than WIP.
Yeah, talking shit.
By
yeah,
four.
But Mark, I got to ask you. I'm a LaSalle High School, LaSalle University guy. So,
Bob, man. Okay.
Bob Cooney's my guy, but does he ever wash that LaSalle University hat? That thing has to be crusty.
You know, I noticed that he does keep a solid rotation of visors and baseball caps. It's between LaSalle. It's between the Gamecocks of South Carolina, where his son goes to school. And then I think he's got one Under Armour one, maybe. But yeah,
and the U.S. Open one, yeah.
The U.S. Open one, yeah. I do enjoy when people watch us on Twitch, the amount of people that will comment on the visor game of Bob Cooney. And every once in a while, I'll break his stones and I'll just say, you know, sometimes, Bob, you look like a defensive backs coach. Like, all you're missing is a whistle and like a piece of paper folded, sticking up out of your pants, out of your waistband. I'll have to ask him about that. To answer your question, I don't think he does. I don't think he does wash it. I think he just keeps them on the rack and keeps them in rotation.
Oh, man. God bless those hats.
Mark, thank you so much for joining the show.
My pleasure.
It was awesome.
You guys don't want to talk about firing?
Way better than I thought. It was hilarious.
You guys don't want to talk about firing Jim Schwartz? Oh, wow. Really, that's the book. Yeah,
that would be another 15 minutes.
That'd be another 15 to half hour talking about that.
No, it's my pleasure, guys. I appreciate you guys thinking of me, and I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Of course. We'll all be listening to you tomorrow.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
See you. Thank you.
He's out.
I mean, that went better.
Hilarious.
That was the real one, dude.
Oh my god, dude, he was fucking hilarious,
dude.
I met him at FanFest last year, and he was just cracking me the fuck up. Yeah. I knew he was the man.
He's a spark plug, man.
I know. That was
really that might be
on a quadruple espresso right now.
He's probably on like 4 or 5 smelling salts.
I can't even drink coffee because my anxiety, and I kind of want one right now.
Oh, that was a really good interview.
Yeah, it was. All right. So thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. If you guys can like, subscribe, rate and review, we truly, truly appreciate it. Anyone have any last words to put in?
All right, Jim Schwartz.
Yeah. And caught Nate Gary in the same sentence.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
Guys.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.